Investment flash.
NVIDIA just dropped an 85% revenue jump, and a top investor says the software era is over. Yeah, we're going there.
Welcome to Investment Flash, New York edition, Thursday, May 21st. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald.
Buddy, the AI hardware trade is on fire. We gotta start there.
All right, Tom. But how much of that is already priced in? The semiconductor ETF surged nearly 4% last session. This is starting to feel like peak euphoria.
No way, Gerald. NVIDIA's forward PE is under 20. That's not euphoria. That's a growth stock on sale.
Hold on. Let's not gloss over the China exclusion in that outlook. That is a real risk threat, not a footnote.
Fair point, Marie. But Anderson's thesis is that AI spoils flow to hardware. That's a structural shift. TSMC, Samsung, the whole Asian supply chain moving.
Yeah, and the Korea ETF is up 76% year to date. That's not a trade, that's a victory lap. I'd be taking some chips off the table.
Gerald, only you could turn a semiconductor rally into a chip pun.
But seriously, if Anderson is right, software names like Microsoft are the ones to worry about, down 24% from its high.
And that's the FT's most original take today. It dovetails perfectly with the NVIDIA numbers, hardware over software.
But here's my pushback. What about the regulatory risk? Governments are already eyeing chip supply chains. If export controls tighten further, that hardware thesis fractures.
Marie, that's a long-term concern. Right now, demand is insatiable. Look at Singapore exports, up 24.5% year-on-year on AI.
Tom, you sound like you're already picking out your yacht. But fine, the export data supports the near-term momentum.
All right, so we've got an AI hardware boom, but with a China asterisk and a regulatory overhang. Watch the June FOMC. If rates go up, that changes the cost of capital for all this CapEx.
Rates, schmates. The Fed minutes are stale. That was before the tanker crisis. They'll pivot if data softens.
Tom, that's exactly the kind of thinking that gets you caught. The Fed minutes explicitly tied rate hikes to Iran-driven inflation. That's a live wire.
Right, and nobody is connecting the dots. Triple-digit oil feeds inflation, which forces the Fed's hand, which hits equities. The S&P 500 ETF is sitting at an all-time high, ignoring this.
But oil just dropped 5.7% last session. That's profit-taking, not a reversal. With 160 tankers stuck near Hormuz, supply is tight.
Agreed. The oil supply shock is real. The U.S. oil fund is up over 100% year-to-date. That consensus of $100 a barrel next year, it's got teeth.
See, but here's the thing. Demand destruction from triple-digit oil? The missing story. It'll hit Asian importers hard, especially Indonesia and India.
Exactly.
And that second-order effect could undercut the emerging market resilience narrative.
Okay, but for now, energy stocks are where it's at. The energy sector ETF is up 31% year-to-date.
And yet the BCR research note says a meaningful stock sell-off is needed to bring down bond yields. Sobering for equity bulls.
Exactly. Bonds are pricing in hawkishness. The long-duration Treasury ETF at a 52-week low. Equities are not. That divergence is dangerous.
Gerald, you're just loving this bond doom loop again. But that Treasury ETF might already be discounting enough. A dovish surprise, and you get a vicious short squeeze.
Fair point, Tom. But until that dovish pivot comes, I'd rather sell the S&P 500 ETF than buy long-duration bonds.
Actually, the cleanest expression might be a barbell. Long energy for the supply shock, long duration bonds as a hedge against a growth scare.
That's our view today. I like it. Oil and treasuries, the odd couple.
Only on this show. But it makes sense. Profits from regime confusion.
Okay, shifting gears.
Indonesia's new export controls. They're taking control of strategic commodities. Uncertainty for buyers. But the Indonesia ETF is already down 28% year to date.
Near its 52-week low, so bad news is priced. But new controls could hit nickel and coal prices. The nickel and coal ETFs are near lows too.
Buy nickel and coal on supply tightness? Low risk, high asymmetry. I'm in.
Wait, Indonesia's move might just shift trade flows, not actually restrict global supply. The market could be overreacting.
Possibly, but the headlines will keep pressure on commodity prices. Short-term momentum.
Exactly. And hey, even the Japan private credit story, Sumitomo and Dai-ichi Life expanding into direct lending. That's institutional money chasing yield. Business development companies could benefit, like Barings and Ares Capital.
Those BDCs are trading below book value, near lows. If Japanese insurers allocate, that's a demand tailwind.
Tom, your reach is impressive. From NVIDIA to BDCs in one show.
Hey, I diversify. But speaking of Japan, the nuclear resurgence. Reactor makers projecting record sales. Mitsubishi Heavy, Toshiba.
Low conviction on that one. Single source report, no immediate catalyst. I'll wait.
Agreed. And then there's the SpaceX IPO filing, unprofitable. Musk with 85% voting control, governance red flag. Could hit space sector sentiment.
The space ETF has exposure, but it's up 15% year to date. Might be overblown.
Not overblown, Tom. Virgin Galactic is down 53% from its high. This kind of disclosure can derate the whole speculative space sector.
Musk's control issues. Who'd have thought?
Gerald, your trust in billionaires is touching.
All right, before we wrap, a quick callback. Yesterday, Gerald was highlighting Zahn buying bonds. Today's Fed minutes make that look prescient.
Even a stop clock, Marie.
No, seriously. Long-duration treasuries could be the trade of the year if the Fed blinks.
But as always, none of this is investment advice. Just our morning read on the markets.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back at 7:30 a.m. London time tomorrow. See you then.
Until next time, stay sharp.
And don't fight the hardware trend, buddy.